Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat for Friday, June 24th, 2011. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Lauren, Steve, Chris, and Bob. Welcome, everyone. On today's show, we will be bringing you news from around Disney. We'll end the show. Do we have listener questions? I think we have one. I think we're going to end with a listener question today if we have time. And let's see, we're going to start off with some announcements, go into news, and then go on to our main topic, which this week, our main show topic discusses which of Disney's dining plans is best for you. So let's get going with announcements. Steve, you have something to say?
Sure. I've got just a couple quick announcements. One, we touched on listener questions. So we're going to have a listener questions show coming up in a few weeks. So please send your listener questions to comments@mousechat.net. And we'll try to answer them all on that show. Also, just a reminder, we're having our Team Mouse Chat fun run over at Disney World October 1st. It's the Family 5K. So if you want, please join us over there. And we also have shirts available over at mousechat.net, and all the profits go to Give Kids the World. So you can order shirts for yourself, family, friends, Christmas gifts, whatever you like.
If you need something to wash your car.
That's true.
Nice.
I'm kidding. Okay, so that's it for announcements, and we're going to move to news. Bob, what do you have for news?
Okay. Well, I just found out that All-Star Movies Resort is finally being refurbished, which is great news for a lot of people. This is a very popular value resort with a lot of families. And because it's so popular, it was kind of in need of a little TLC, and it is finally getting some. So buildings 1 and 2 have been finished, and work has now started on building number 3, with an estimated completion date for the entire resort of November 5th. I'm also hearing that if you call and ask the front desk, you may get completely different answers. Sometimes people call and they're told, we're not refurbishing. Other times people call and say, yes, we are refurbishing. But there's actual video footage on YouTube of the new room. So clearly they are refurbishing. They look great. So if you're planning a stay here, know that, you know, there's a possibility you might get one of the newly refurbished rooms.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Lauren, do you have a story?
I do. Reservations for special events for Food and Wine in Epcot are going to be opening to the public at 7 a.m. on August 16th. So if there's any special events that you wanted to book up between September 30th and November 13th during the Food and Wine, that is the day you want to call and do so. There is a list. I'm not sure if anybody wants me to go through the list of what the special events are.
Maybe a couple of highlights.
Okay.
Just the fun ones, the ones that have to do with cupcakes.
Like the dessert discovery?
Yeah.
Okay. Just a couple of the events that they're doing. The 3D Disney's Dessert Discovery. That's going to be October 7th, 14th, 21, 28, November 4th, and 11th.
That's always very popular. Yeah.
Let's
That's
see.
A good one.
This would be one I'd probably sign up for, the Epcot Wine School. October 9th, 16th, 23rd, 30th, and November 5th. And this one I think is probably a good one too. The Taste, Shake, and Indulge like the French. Oh, here we go. I'm going to get made fun of. Grand Marnier. How do you say that? I can never say
Marnier.
This Marnier. Marnier. Tasting an Interactive Experience, October 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, November 5th.
Ooh. Nice.
Sweet Sundays, October 2nd, 9th, 16th, 23rd, 30th, and November 6th and 13th. And then there's a couple other ones in there, too.
Now, has anybody ever been to one of the actual extra special events?
I have not.
I haven't either. I always go to just Food and Wine and kind of dine around.
I just eat my way around the world, usually.
That's what I've done, although I've wanted to do the 3D dessert party for the senses. Especially after seeing footage, I think last year it was on Food Network on one of the shows, because one of the Cake Boss or Ace of Cakes or one of those guys was,
okay.
I think Cake Boss was there last year or the year before, and so they were highlighting it, and it looked really, really nice. And I mean, if you're a fan of dessert, and who isn't, You know, that's pretty much what it is.
Nobody on this desserts. Show.
Yeah, no. We hate sweets.
We hate sweets. Nobody here likes them.
Yeah. So that to me just looked, I mean, the ambience looked really good. And you know, because they are limited separate events. And it just, you know, it just looked like a really good selection of different desserts. And I kind of got the impression from watching it, too, that it was like unlimited, like you could eat your fill of you know what you like.
They're asking for trouble.
Yeah,
apparently,
you know, park me by a cannoli station and you know.
Walk away.
Yeah,
it looks like there's also some other special events too, including Italian and French pairings and lunches and Mexican tequila events, which also sound interesting.
Very cool, Chris. You're next.
Disney Vacation Club is remaking their logo to reflect the changed brand. From now on, instead of the little round DVC logo that says Disney Vacation Club and has little mountains on it and a mouse ear, it'll actually look like a globe with little mouse ears on top. So just a little bit of a change. So you'll be seeing those around the parks instead of the old one.
I don't like the
I
new
like
one.
It.
You like
I don't
the,
like
oh,
it.
Oh, here we go.
I don't like
it. Do you know what?
I like
don't
the old,
like it.
I like the old classic. It's got the mountains. It's just kind of a happy beach. It's just nice.
Doesn't the old one look more fun? The new one looks serious. It could almost be like for a computer company or something.
It's a globe with ears, and it's like super ultra modern.
Right. Yeah, I don't like it.
Poor Bob.
Way to just crush my dream again. it happens every week. I'm kind of used to it.
I know. I'm surprised that Steve came in so early. We usually like to space it out.
to each their own. I mean, but I like the whole contemporary, modern, artistic style of things. So maybe that's just why it appeals to me.
So what you're saying is you're better than us?
No, I.
it doesn't. It's going to be on every shot glass and keychain and and hat. And I already have enough of those anyway, so.
Well, I'm not a DVC member yet. I would love to be.
Well, and it's all one color. It's blue with like a chrome, right? And the other one was bright colors. It was cheerful. It was a party.
It was. Party for the senses. Not anymore.
Okay, Steve, what do you have?
Mine is real quick. I just have Club Penguin this week forgot to renew their domain name. So you could not get on. It would just say, one of those landing pages that says, you know, come back, this site's for sale type of message. So about halfway through the day, they figured it out and renewed it.
Oh, jeez.
But
that guy was fired.
Yeah, well, that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
That's probably why it didn't get renewed, would be my guess. And someone's like, oh, yeah, whatever happened to that guy?
I'm very jealous right now, by the way. Debbie is waiting for wishes to go off right now.
Oh, she's at the park?
Yeah. We miss you, Debbie.
I'm jealous. I'm not going to lie.
Isn't it weird how you can just come back from Disney World and be jealous of somebody who's down there like a week later?
Always.
There's something wrong with us. There really is.
There really
no,
is.
No, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that because they're having fun and you're back home. So I don't think there's anything wrong.
I'm looking at the picture of the castle that she put up on Facebook and I'm like seriously depressed right now. I want to go
now. I realize this isn't part of the news story, and feel free to edit this out, Steve, but I mean, the whole thing with wishes and all the rumors circulating.
We heard last week, right, that they might, the rumor was that they might.
The rumor is, there is a rumor circulating, and I haven't heard anything lately, but last week, I mean, the internet was all abuzz with rumors that, Disney is ending wishes at the Magic Kingdom in light of a possible new fireworks show in as early as a month. Disney hasn't made any announcement to this, and I can't see them ending it that quickly with I just don't see them making an announcement 1 week before, you know, Wishes is going to stop. But, you know, that doesn't seem to be their style. So I don't know how much faith I put in this, but on the other hand, I mean, Wishes has been around probably, I think, somewhere 8 or 9 years.
That's now. Okay.
So, but yeah, no, I love Wishes.
You know,
I
mean, what? Wishes is my favorite. I love Wishes. I'm going to be very sad.
So I at this point, like I said, I haven't seen anything this week as to it, but last week it was.
They better wait till after August 15th.
It was all the buzz on the internet. So I don't know. We'll keep you posted. But as of right now, that is just a non-confirmed rumor.
I can't believe I missed that.
Yeah, it was all over the place.
I can't believe I missed that.
That's because you had better things to do, like go to the beach.
Nothing official.
I do like the beach.
Yeah, that's okay.
That's my second happy place.
Well, and it only came from a few places. I mean, the truth is. I mean, it was a pretty good source, I thought, but, you know. Yeah. We put it out on Chip & Co. People were really upset.
Yeah, well, it is very, very popular with a lot of people, myself included. So, yeah, I mean, I would be sad to see that go. And I think anything that they introduce would have to be...
Phenomenal,
yeah, exactly. I think it would have to be as good. And, you know, like everything else, I would imagine it would take some time to build a following. You know?
Oh, please. No, I mean, the reality is that 90% of the people who go there don't know the difference between one show or another because they don't go there every year. You know, they go there every few years and, you know, a great fireworks
show. It's just a fireworks show.
Is a great fireworks show. And it doesn't matter if it's Wishes or, you know,
but
some other
show. But it's the music
show.
And the story and...
Right. But they're not going to, you know, if you go there like every 3 or 4 years, you're just going to think, oh, this is great, you know.
Yeah.
You're not going to go, hey, where are the little kids singing?
Yeah, where's Wishes?
Yeah.
But you know what? I still think no matter what Disney's going to do, even if they take Wishes away, they're going to come back with something fabulous as well.
Yes.
They
I mean,
will.
It's not,
no
it's
doubt.
Not like it's, yeah, it's not like they're taking it away and replacing it with nothing.
No, they're not just axing it.
Right.
Right.
The reason I don't
there's
see
there's not
going to
be
away...
any fireworks that night. Yeah. Sorry.
The reason I don't think it's going away in the immediate future is because there's been no official announcement. And like I said,
I
that's just not
behind.
Disney's
yeah.
style. You know, they're not just going to say, hey, by the way, we're ending Wishes in a week.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I think you're totally right.
Why don't they do it with one of their big promotions? Like they have the Memories kind of promotion
I mean,
going
that
on
that would kind of make more sense, too, to introduce it with a new theme, you know,
right.
for whatever next year's theme
that's
is.
That's a good
instance.
Point, too.
Yeah. Yeah, so I
crushing
mean,
your dreams.
Yeah, but they used to follow schedules, and now they're doing ticket increases twice a year.
Yeah,
so much for consistency.
Wait a minute, was there a ticket? Twice a year?
There were two within the last year.
When was the last one?
I think it was August.
Yeah.
Oh, well, so August, and then yeah, they're
right.
just doing
not a calendar year, but within a 12-month
right.
period.
Okay.
It's still pretty crummy. Which you know, that's a pretty good segue into my news story, if I may.
Oh. Yes, please.
Universal has followed suit. They have increased their ticket prices as well. And it's pretty much because of the Harry Potter popularity. But a week after Disney raised their prices, Universal came back with increases as well. And they're pretty comparable. You're going to look at a one-day, one-park ticket increase of $3, so it's going from $82 to $85, and that's a 3.7% increase. And they increased all their prices, and the increases are going to be on the other options anywhere from 7.1% to 11.4% on their 2-, 3-, and 4-day tickets. And the worst one was the 3-day, one-park admission ticket. I think it was the one park, which went from $139.99 to $155.99. Let me make sure. It was the basic ticket, which, yeah, it was only to one park. So you're going to get a 3-day to one park only, no hopping, no jumping back and forth. And it went to $155.99. So they feel they can justify it because of the whole Harry Potter thing. And the Disney increase, which it kind of does make it easy for Universal to raise their prices. They'd be silly not to.
Well, but one thing to remember about Universal, you can buy tickets online for a slight discount, which they want to encourage people to do. And if I'm not mistaken, they did not raise their prices on their annual passes, on their Power Plus pass and on their premium pass. So that price didn't change.
I didn't read to that.
Mm-hmm. So you can save a little bit of money by ordering your ticket online, which is what I think, you know, they want people, rather than buying it at the gate, to get it in advance. But
it cuts down on labor costs.
Yeah, exactly. And it ensures, you know, people bought the ticket, mm-hmm. they're going to go. Whereas
money in
they
their
say,
pocket.
Well, I'll just wait until I get to Orlando and buy the ticket, they might change their mind. So, but to the whole thing with these ticket increases, from a business perspective, this is kind of smart. I mean, because Disney increases the price on their one-day tickets, but has a minimal increase on, you know, additional days on their park hoppers. So,
do you think that's a minimal increase percentage-wise? The
percentage-wise,
highest increase
percentage-wise,
is the 10-day.
Percentage-wise, it's a lot. But I mean, if you consider, okay, so going from, let's say, a four-day to a five-day park hopper went up, you know, first it was $3, then it was $5 last year. Now I think it's $8 mm-hmm. per person. But, you know, if you're planning a vacation and you're thinking to yourself, well, do I want to go to another park and pay $85 for a one-day admission, or do I want to stay an extra day at Disney and pay an extra $8 per person?
But that's not anything new. That's not doing that for years.
Right, but that's the whole reasoning behind it. So people aren't looking at percentages. I mean, nobody's getting to the ticket, booth and saying, well, gosh, that's a 13.7% increase over last year. That's a lot. No, they're thinking, well, gee, you know, it only went up, you know, $8 a person. Okay, I mean,
but you know, your 10-day park hopper just went up like $29. That's a big jump.
That is a lot, especially over
that is a big difference.
Four or five people. Yes, that is a lot because that's money that people could spend elsewhere on a meal, on souvenirs, or something that Disney may not get now.
Yeah, you know. So they're betting that you're going to go to another Disney park for $8 as opposed to go over to Universal Studios and pay, you know, 80 yeah. or whatever
or
for a
or SeaWorld or Busch Gardens, yeah, whatever one of those parks are, and that's exactly it. And I think what you're going to see is maybe a slowdown in increases as to the 1-day tickets. I don't know how much more they're going to increase the 1-day price, because you're approaching that $100 threshold, and you know, you hit $100 on a 1-day ticket, and I think people are going to say, wow, that's way too much, or the value is not there anymore for me.
Do you know what, Bob? For me, I don't have a problem with even the idea of a $100 a day admission. My biggest issue is, I mean, if you're going to talk about price increases, to me, a deluxe room without a discount, to me, is pretty unaffordable. To me, that's where people are getting kind of, I don't know what a nice word for it is. They have a...
Reamed?
No. I mean, seriously, it's a lot of money. And
no,
you know, to me, that's where you're starting to lose value. Because if you want to charge me $550 a night to stay in a room in the Grand Floridian, which I love that resort, but full price to pay that, that's a lot of money. To me, I'm starting not to see the value.
And I completely agree, which is why I stayed at the Waldorf a couple weeks ago and not on Disney, because I couldn't justify the price that they were seeking, even with a 35% Florida resident discount.
Right.
You know, so yeah, that I totally agree there. And I almost wonder if the reason behind that is they want to push people into DVC. You know, and then lock in 40 years of vacations.
Do they? I don't think they need to push people into DVC. As fast as Bay Lake Tower sold out, DVC is a huge money maker.
Bay Lake Tower sold out, or is about to sell out, I think, because of location and because a lot of people, wanted that to be built for years.
Mm-hmm.
Similarly, if this plan goes through, like the rumor, if the rumors are true and the next DVC is at the Grand Floridian, I think that'll sell out pretty quickly too, maybe even faster than BLT. But I don't know. I think there's a lot of people who want DVC and will purchase it, but I think there are also people that come down and say, well, gee, I just spent $550 a night on this room at the Grand Floridian, and I could get deluxe accommodations, and lock in my price, and, you know, the buy-ins, you know, I can put 10% down and buy in and finance the deal for a couple thousand dollars. So what my vacation cost, you know, I could already have my down payment and then some.
Yeah, but the last couple of years, because we've been doing DVC, but the deals have been so great until recently, you know, that I keep seeing all these great deals, and I'm like, wow, I wish I could have taken advantage of that deal instead of having DVC.
But now that the pendulum is swinging the other way.
Yeah, now it's moving back.
Yeah, now you're thinking, well, gee, I'm glad to have my DVC.
Mm-hmm. I'm detecting a topic for another show.
Oh, yeah, this is, we're getting...
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Because I was going to, you know, we can talk about the best places to buy them and what's the best place to stay and what to do with it and how trading works. So let's plan to do another show topic with that.
All right. Sorry.
I mean, you guys have a lot to talk about, and I just wanted to cut you off.
Yeah.
So, I did. So I'm sorry to be so abrupt, but I'm just trying to keep the show moving.
Yep.
And we're going to move to Lauren with some sort of car.
Ah, yes. Let's see. Lightning McQueen will be joining the cast, or has joined the cast of Late's Motor Action Extreme Stunt Show. He's going to be making his debut appearance late this summer in Hollywood Studios. It's going to be kind of like a cameo when the stunt show director sets up a reel dedicated to one of the greatest race cars of all time. That's kind of when he's going to come out. I don't want to give it all away, but look for him in late summer for all of our Cars 2 fans and Cars fans, because he will be appearing.
It's horrible. It's absolutely. I saw it. I went to Disneyland Paris, and I went to that Lights Motor Action, and they had it there, and it was awful. I've got a video of it. I'll post it, but because that show started at Disneyland Paris, they brought it to Disney Hollywood Studios. So it's the same show at Disneyland Paris. So they've added in Lightning McQueen, you know, between one of the scenes. And on the TV, Mater comes up on the big screen TV, and then Lightning McQueen like pulls out and starts driving around, weaving in and out of the trucks that they have set up, the produce trucks and the fish truck and all the stuff that they have for the other stunts. And then one of those black cars that they use in the regular setup comes out with a secret missile on top of it, and they just creep around chasing each other in between the other trucks at about 5 miles an hour. And then Lightning, then they go behind stage and Lightning McQueen captures the spy car and it's over. It's maybe 5 or 8 minutes long. And there's like no action. There's no nothing. I mean,
not the way you tell it.
You have a little kid that like, wants to watch him go drive around at about 5 or 10 miles an hour between some other little cars. It's like they just stuck it in. They needed to stick it into that show, and that's what they did.
Hmm.
Are you giving it a chance?
It's horrible.
Did you go in with an open mind?
I did. I actually went to that show to watch that thing because I was like, oh, this is new. I actually videotaped it, and then I was robbed.
Those are 30 minutes of your life that you'll never get back.
Yeah. So
sorry.
It was in English. That was about the only advantage of it.
Thankful for the little things. Okay, well that's good. Let's move on again. Let's hit the main show topic for today, which is going to be which of Disney's dining plans is best for you. And Steve, since you've got such enthusiasm, we're going to start off with you. Why don't you start off? We're going to go over each of the dining plans that Disney offers and tell a little bit about it and make sure everyone knows about it, and we'll throw in our 2 cents here and there. But Steve's going to start with the quick service dining plan. Steve?
Okay. So quick service, basically you get 2 counter service credits, 2 snack credits, and the refillable drink mug. So if you went for breakfast for one of your counter service credits. You could have an entree and a non-alcoholic beverage. And then same thing for lunch or dinner. Basically, if you went and used one of your counter service credits, you could have an entree, the non-alcoholic beverage, and a dessert. And then the refillable drink mug is nice. You can use them at the resorts, use them over and over again. So that's, I guess, one of the nice things about the quick service plan. And snacks are nice, too. We went, and when we did one of the plans, basically the snack items are about a $4 item.
It actually has to be under $4, so $3.99 and less.
Yep. And they'll have a little
sign. They're funny
that way. Yeah. They'll have a little sign next to it that'll say snack credit. Or you can ask at some of the places and they'll pull out a little card or list and show you what all the different snack items are at the resorts. Or
yeah, like at the resorts, they have those little shops and they'll show you. They've got things that aren't marked out, you know, that aren't marked out in the racks, and they have a little cheat sheet that shows all of the possibilities. And I do want to point out that the snack is so much more than they make it out to be. It's advertised as being, you know, a piece of fresh fruit or a Mickey Mouse ice cream novelty, a bag of popcorn, a box of popcorn, and, or, you know, soda. And it's so much more. Some of the things, you can get fudge, you can get a cupcake, woohoo! You can get all kinds of different pastries. You can get cotton candy, a Rice Krispie Mickey Mouse ear treat. And there's just so many different things that you can get. You know, I was excited to know that when you ask, you can get so much more.
Yeah.
Can I just say something? I've been writing about this a lot, actually, because I went through all the approved snacks for 2012. And you can get you're right, you can get so many things. The one thing you shouldn't buy with a snack is a drink, because most of the drinks cost around $2.29, $2.59, whereas, you know, you pay out of pocket with those, and then you can buy like a $4 funnel cake, mm-hmm, or a $4 cupcake, or even a $3.59 thing of chili. You can get like a side of chili at Casey's, for example. So you can actually almost make a meal out of your snack credits if you're careful, or you can waste them on drinks. So.
Yeah. Well, especially like a kid's milk or something,
mm-hmm,
or
that's
juice
a bad
box.
One.
Yeah.
Don't
Plus,
do
you
those.
Can just take those. I mean, buy those on your own and take them into the park. You'll be fine.
And then we had some leftover snack credits, so we went to one of those candy stores and bought some stuff for the car.
Yeah, over at the boardwalk.
Yeah, on the way home.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And
whatever's
nice.
Left.
And they also, when I went to Disneyland right after our Disney World trip last time, and so I started looking around at the snack prices at Disneyland in California, and there are actually more in California. So they've lowered some of the snack prices at Disney World for the exact same snacks to get them to the $4 or $3.99 price so they can be on the plan.
So Steve, who do you think the quick service dining plan actually appeals to?
I think it's for people that are on the go, that are fly by the seat of your pants. They don't want to make dining reservations. They're not so much into the character dining. They don't want to sit down and spend an hour to an hour and a half on a dining reservation. They're the people that want to go, go, go. And they'll grab something when they get hungry. I totally get that.
But you know what? I just had a client who just came back, and I actually was able to meet up with her when I was down at Disney World. And before she left, I mean, she got the quick service plan, and I said, you know, it's not that much more to get the sit down. And she had all of those reasons. And when we talked, she said, I will never get this plan again because it's just too much fast food.
It
and
is.
It really is.
That is true.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think
some
for
people
a
are like
short
that.
Trip.
Yeah. Some people don't mind.
I mean, if you're doing 2 days, 3 days, I think you could probably get away with the quick service plans, and
right.
And you can find some decent fast food places.
You can.
You know, in every park.
Right.
Maybe
I
a
really
little harder in Hollywood Studios, but. but no, you
I like
you really
Mexico.
Can.
Mexico for quick service.
You know,
yeah, but
and
here's my issue with the quick service plan. It's what, $35 roughly,
right,
for the quick service.
It's $10
more. $10
more,
you can get a full sit down dinner every night
with characters.
And, with character meals, with whatever you want. You can use it for breakfast every day. But it's $10 more.
And in her
case, same price for quick service.
And in her case, she said, you know, I feel I can't feed my kids enough healthy food on this because they were staying at the Poly. They didn't have a car, so it wasn't like they could go off-site and, you know, maybe augment, you know, what they had with some fresh fruit or what. I mean, you know, obviously they could use their snack credits, but, you know, it wasn't enough variety. It wasn't enough healthy food. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and that's why I say, I mean, for a 2-day, 3-day trip, I mean, I think you could probably get away with it. Being there 5 days, 7 days, mm-hmm. I would not want to eat quick service meals
I would explode. Yeah.
And the price is right. It really is.
To bump up.
Right. And I'm not saying it's the best plan. I'm saying that there are people or situations or families that are going to like the quick service and do well with it. And if junk is their thing, if they can eat a burger every day, twice a day.
I can't. Even my kids can't do it.
No, nope, mine can't either. Nope.
By day 10, my kids are like, if I see another chicken tender, I'm going to jump.
Yep. That's so true.
Well, if they gave the kids the real chicken tenders like they used to, we'd be in a good situation. But
whole different issue.
Let's not open that can of worms. But seriously, the nuggets that they offer versus what they used to offer to the kids, actual chicken tenders.
There's a lot of stuff. I mean, it's like their hot dogs have changed. You know, the buns changed, and then the hot dog changed, too.
I did not realize the buns changed.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, the bun. Well, the bun used to be nice and soft, and now it's like a dry wheat thing. I think it's wheat or whole grain or something, which it's a hot dog. You know, you don't have to like make it healthy.
Yeah.
You know, but
those are still good hot dogs.
Yeah, but they used to be all beef hot dogs at Casey's, and they're not anymore.
They're like, they have some chicken in them, right?
Yeah, they're like beef combinations. So,
aren't hot dogs always combinations?
No, they used to be all beef, and they used to be really, really decent. So there have been changes here and there. But, I mean, in general, I do think the quick service plan works for certain situations for certain people. And I think the benefit to all of these plans, and I'm not a huge fan, as we all know, but I think the benefit to all of these plans is the ability to know that you've paid for it in advance and you can just go and order and know that, you know, your out-of-pocket costs will be minimal. Yeah. So.
Especially if you tip like Bob.
you know, you shortchange a bunch of valets. You know.
Did you say short? Was that a reference to me, Bob?
Wow. It's getting ugly.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to have more to discuss. Okay, so let's move to the next level of service, which is commonly known as plus dining or basic dining. Bob, why don't you help us on this?
Okay. This is probably the most popular plan, I would think, or the one
absolutely
that you go for. And with this plan, you're going to get one counter service credit, one table service credit, and one snack per person. And so the way you can use this is if you were doing quick service for breakfast, you would get an entree and a non-alcoholic beverage. And if you were using the quick service credits for lunch or dinner, you'd get entree, dessert, and a non-alcoholic beverage. For table service meals, if you used it for breakfast, you'd get an entree and non-alcoholic beverage at a table service sit-down restaurant or one full buffet, including character buffets. For lunch and dinner, you'd get an entree, dessert, and one non-alcoholic beverage. And children ages 3 to 9 also get an appetizer, which seems a little silly to me, but, you know. Or you can also get one full buffet, including, again, character, you know, buffets under this plan as well.
This is great if you've got kids and you want to go see some of the characters at, you know, breakfast or dinner. Sometimes lunch. Not often, but sometimes.
There are over 100 restaurants, you know, on this plan that you can choose from. It does represent a savings of up to 25%. Buying this particular plan, depending on what time of year you're going. One thing to note is that gratuities are not included, so you would have to pay for those, you know, out of pocket at the table services restaurants. And most of these sit-down restaurants, I'd say the majority on property really are one-table service. There are a handful of signature dining places that are two-table service credits like California Grill, Citrico's, Cinderella's Royal Table, but you do have the option of using two-table service credits one night and then not doing table service, you know, another day.
Or just pay out of pocket.
Whichever.
You can always supplement, right? Now, a couple things I want to throw in. When we talk about how many credits you get, it's all in conjunction with your number of nights. It's not your number of days. So if you're staying the 10th through the 15th, that's 6 days, but it's 5 nights. So you're going to get 5 table service, 5 counter service, and 5 snacks per person for the duration of your stay. It's 1 per night per person. So it goes that way. And everyone has to be on the same plan when you book this. If you're all in one room, or I'll say everyone who's in the room needs to be on the same dining plan. You can't say, well, you know what, she's 4, but she really doesn't eat. If she's 4, she's going to get the dining plan and she's going to pay for it. And then you're also not allowed to say, we're going to be there for 6 nights, but we only want the dining plan for 3. So they do have some rules about that.
And children 3 to 9 are supposed to order off the kids menu.
Mm-hmm.
But for, I think, as we've talked about,
whenever possible.
Whenever possible. But I think we've brought this up on the show. It's not always enforced.
Well, it's always enforced if there's meal available. Well, it's always enforced if there's a menu available at a table service. It's the quick service that's
the one that's flexible.
Can I say something else? If you wanted to do the dining plan for 3 days of your trip and then not the next 4, you could easily just do a split stay.
But then
that
you
gets
have to do
tricky
tickets.
With tickets. Because you do need tickets. You need tickets for dining plans.
I'm becoming like the split stay expert now that I'm doing my own. It is tricky, but, you know.
It can be done.
Well, you could just get your tickets, you know, get your tickets for the first part of your stay, get them for a week, and just get your dining for those 3 days and do your split stay.
No.
The only problem would be that they might not be able to get you the same room.
No, but in order to get dining on your second part of your stay, you have to be in a package with tickets.
Right. That's why I said get it on the first part, you know, when you get your tickets, oh, get like that, 7 days.
And then not have dining on the second?
On the second package.
Okay, so room only.
Yes.
Okay, I'm with you now.
I'm sorry. I've got this split stay thing down.
You're funny.
I think that the plus dining is the best value for your money.
It's totally a good value.
But there are, well, we'll get into it, but, you know, the other plans, there are people that fit those other plans as well.
Right. Can I just say that because I'm cheap and because I know my husband is cheap, the main reason I do the dining plan is because I don't like surprises and I like having it paid ahead of time.
However,
I actually went ahead and went through the menus on another website and have discovered, and just looking, I think I can come out ahead. If I'm careful on this dining plan, I can come out ahead as far as the cost goes.
Yeah,
as long as I don't get sloppy, you know.
We came out ahead. We did the plus dining during Christmas time for a week, and we kept every single receipt and mm-hmm. every snack, and we came out at least $300 mm-hmm. ahead.
It was two something, but
the high twos.
We paid, I think, $580 for the plan for 6 days or something, and we ended up spending, I think, $830. So it was pretty good, yeah.
But the thing that we realized was that we would have not eaten probably that amount of snacks or food if we had not been on the plan.
Yeah, we definitely changed our eating habits because it was so-called free or included already. And, you know, I wouldn't normally order dessert with every meal. And, you know, you get a beverage with every meal, so you get the biggest drink they have because why not? I can get it. And, you know, I'm a sugar-free, caffeine-free drinker, and they don't have those options. And I found myself drinking Sprite all the time, and I didn't want to drink all those calories and all that sugar. But because I felt like I would waste it if I just ordered a cup of water or a bottle of water, I did. And I didn't like that.
So my family, everybody is a big eater. So it worked out really well when we used it the last time. And I figured, the way I figured it out is that we basically paid for the first 4 days and the next 3 days seemed free, you know, if you looked at it. And that was even making some fairly big mistakes with snacks and things like that and buying like milk, like Lisa said. It definitely worked out. The only thing I did not like, as you said, was the dessert. At the signature restaurant or at the table service restaurants, I would eat a dessert every time because I love dessert. But the counter service, it was so bad. And it's, I mean, and it depends on where you go. If you're in Epcot, those are good desserts. But in the Magic Kingdom, those little styrofoam, you know, brownies and whatnot, those aren't worth eating. No. So I would not have bought those.
Epcot is good for their desserts, though.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But yeah, no, it worked out for us. And I'm a convert. I wasn't a convert until, you know, until I did it the first time.
Yeah. And the desserts are huge. Because we went to the, what was it, Contempo Cafe, and we got the quick service, and we each got a dessert, and they were, I mean,
we
like
ended up
one
throwing
dessert.
Away so many desserts.
We threw away, and we would take them back to the room because we had a fridge, and we would just.
I mean, cakes and cupcakes, dare I say.
And, well, and you know what? There's a lot of things I found out recently that you can actually exchange. Instead of taking a counter service dessert, you can ask for a bottle of water, and most places will give you the bottle of water.
Oh, that'd be nice. That's a good tip. Yeah. Because you really do get deserted out.
Yeah.
Oh,
you get, unless it's a high-quality dessert.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but if you send me to California Grill, I'll eat dessert there every night.
Yeah. It's the quick service ones.
But it is shameful how much we did throw away between knowing that we had a fridge and we did go shopping and we bought some things to help supplement, because you think you still have to supply one meal. So you're going to have maybe lunch and dinner on the plan. So we need to have some milk and cereal and maybe some snacks, because you only get one snack. And we threw away so much food, our own and Disney's. And it's shameful, yeah.
Can I just invite you into my sad world? So the last day on my trip, it was really hot, and I saved, you know, one last counter service credit for Mara, and I went there and I bought lunch, and I got the Zebra Domes as my dessert, because those are excellent, even if they are at the quick service. And I put them in my handbag, forgetting that it was super hot. And then my son and I went out to watch. My son and I went out to wait for Magical Express, and we're sitting there. And I didn't think about it until we got on the bus, and I stuck my hand in my purse, and I was like, "Oh, I felt it everywhere."
Oh,
it was so sad. We ate the rest.
Oh, that's so funny.
Now, sort of funny Zebra Dome stuff.
Were you more sad that the Zebra Dome was ruined or your purse?
My purse recovered. The Zebra Domes did not. So, yeah, it's a Zebra Dome.
Yay.
Oh, that's so funny.
I didn't even think they melt really easily.
And if you wondered why the lady on Magical Express bus on the way back to the airport was licking the inside of her purse.
Yeah, it was me.
Now you know the story. You know.
Thank goodness my phone wasn't in there.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been bad.
Yeah.
Gosh, that's... You know, but yeah, it is a lot of food, and I will say, with all those snacks and things, you know, I go into these, you know, the Boardwalk Bakery or, you know, the little, you know, Starring Roles at Hollywood Studios, and you see the signs, and everything has a little, you know,
little emblem,
that's on the, you know, that counts as a snack, and yeah, I mean, there are desserts there. I mean, there are cupcakes that two people could easily split.
Easily. And keep that in mind. That's a good point, because there are snacks that you easily can split. If you can agree, split a cupcake or split some of these desserts. They're just huge. They are. And then you're better off later, because then you can split another one. But speaking of a lot of food, Lauren, you want to tell us about deluxe dining?
Sure. With deluxe dining, you're going to get three meals sit-down table service and two snacks per person per night, as well as the resort refillable drink mug per person per package, which is eligible for refills at quick service locations only in your resort hotel. With that said, the deluxe dining, I think, is a little bit more complicated because you can actually use your three table services for table service or quick service or whichever way you want to go. I recommend people get the deluxe dining plan if they're going to do a lot of signature dining or if they're going to do a lot of character breakfasts and sit-down dinners. You know, if you're going to be using at least two table services a day, that's where I think the deluxe dining plan is going to give you a value. The price for the dining, the deluxe dining, is actually almost double. It's $78.99 for adults, and it is double for kids. It's $21.99 for ages 3 to 9. So it can be expensive, but I mean, if you're going to do all of those signature dining, if you want to eat at California Grill and you want to eat at
totally
Narcoosie's and you want to eat at the Castle, if you want to do all of these, you know, you want to do Anadohana Hoop-Dee-Doo or
Spirit of Aloha
or any of those things, that's where that deluxe dining plan, I think, is perfect for you. If you love to have sit-down breakfast every day and sit-down dinners every night, that's where the deluxe dining plan, I think, is going to have a value.
I think it's perfect for – it's definitely not a plan, I don't think, for people that have never been to the parks, because I don't think they appreciate how much there is to do and see. And I mean, sitting down for two meals a day is going to take up a chunk of time.
Right.
Especially if you're going to do signature dining, because those meals just tend to be slower. But I totally could have done this plan with my wife and I last year, I think it was. We stayed on property, and I think we ate at a signature restaurant, you know, once a night. And those meals do add up. I mean, California Grill for two people with, you know, a glass of wine, an appetizer, you know, entree and dessert, with the Tables in Wonderland discount, was still $180 after the tip.
Right.
So $78 a person, you know, that's a good deal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I think it depends. I think it depends on what you're looking to accomplish. I totally think that the regular dining plan is definitely going to give you your best value, but it depends on what you're looking to accomplish.
I think if you take it for what it is at three meals and two snacks per person per day, per night, you're in for trouble. Not only because it's so much food, but it's also going to take so much time out of your day. I've had people as first-time visitors to Disney ask about this and want to do it because they wanted to have all their meals covered. And once they realize that they're missing out on the parks as much as they would be because, you know, you have to show up 15 minutes early for your dining reservation and you're looking at a good hour and a half experience. Not to mention if you've got lunch at 11:30 and it's 11 o'clock, you just get off of a ride, you don't have a whole lot of time that time in between is going to be wasted. We don't have enough time to go on another ride, so let's just go to our reservation early, or let's just walk slowly, or putz around. It's just...
It can be time-consuming.
It's going to consume your time. It really will. But if you are okay with not spending a whole lot of time, if you've been there so many times that you want to experience the different restaurants and the different
food... Guilty.
Yeah.
Which is mean. That's what I do
that's
now.
Me. But yeah,
this plan certainly does fit certain people. And you can do it a couple of different ways. You don't have to go the signature route. You don't have to go the show route. If you wanted to spend all that time and take things leisurely and, you know, Disney's not all about the parks. Doing this and going to experience the food, I think is a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, this plan would be perfect for my parents.
Yes.
Yeah, because they love to go and try the different restaurants. And with the signature dining, it takes two table service credits, so it's not your full three meals a day that's covered anymore because you're using two of the credits for one meal. So you can easily you know, go through credits going to Citrico's or Narcoozie's or
My only problem with the plan is the two snacks, because I think I would end up at the end of the trip with a huge amount of snack credits that I would either
buying a whole bunch of Rice Krispie treats resort.
That's what you can do though.
You can do that, and I've actually had people like, oh, we had unused snack credits here, have a dessert. I've actually had people come up to me and, you know.
Right. You know what, though? I actually considered getting this plan for my trip, even though I tend to not think it's so great for people with really little kids, because when I did all my reservations, I ended up with 14 table service credits on a 9-night trip, and I could easily have, you know, use those other credits to get, you know, quick service or whatever, and I still feel I would have probably gotten close to my money's worth. And I don't know, with little kids, I could easily give them two snacks a day.
In addition to regular food?
Oh, my kids eat like horses, and I have to say they all have my husband's metabolism, which means they're skinny. I mean, my kids could eat that much. Because, you know, you think about a snack as a, you know, if you're not being careful, you could buy a bottle of water or, you know, a soda or a juice or whatever. My kids easily drink 2 or 3, you know, bottles of water or whatever a day. So,
yeah, use them for that. I would just hate to use a snack credit on like a soda or like
right.
a bottle of water.
Yeah, that doesn't sit well with me either.
And I have to say also, I have a client, and I did talk to them about exactly what you're saying. They're a family. They're going for the first time. They're actually going for a 2-week split stay. It's a very long trip, and it's deluxe dining plan. And they're going in October. And I did warn them, and I said, look, this is how this all works, blah, blah, blah. And they said, look, we want to have two table service meals. We don't want to have to think about it, but also we want to make sure we sit down and enjoy time together, because part of our vacation is just going to be about sitting and being together. And for them, I think it's really a great idea. And you know me, I tried to talk them out of it, because I don't know. I just, you know, I want to be honest about, you know, what's a better deal for them, but they still wanted it. And hopefully after listening to this show, they still do, because I think it'll work for them. And I honestly think if I could swing it, I think I would do it too.
I would like to do, I have not done the deluxe dining, and I honestly should be doing it on my next trip, but I can't.
Yeah. I saw your list, and you, that's what I thought. I thought, is this a deluxe dining trip? So,
right. But no, we're not doing it. We're just going to eat our way through Disney and, you know, get, but I really could probably use it for this trip, but I would love to try it. I think I'm going to try to make that happen just to try it and see what it's like.
Well, and you know what else is nice is if you try it when your kids are still under 10. So that, you know, you get it. Well, you know, but in my case, that was the other reason.
Been there, done that.
That's the other reason I thought about doing it, is because all three of my kids are under 10. So it's fairly inexpensive for them to do it.
Right. Yeah. No.
And my oldest one hits 10, I'm not going to do it. Not until he's older.
Right. Yeah. I mean, at this point now, it would be, you know, $78.99 times 4 per day.
Right. Yeah. And they're not eating that much yet.
My kids aren't eating $300 worth of food. My husband might, not my kids.
I think my 4-year-old daughter could easily eat Disney out of. I've never seen a child eat until you meet this girl. So,
nah, I don't know. My kids are the same. They eat like pigs, but they don't eat. They graze. They'll eat all day, but they don't eat a ton at one sitting. So I'd lose money on this deal.
You just need the 5 snacks a day plan.
For them, that's exactly what would work for me.
We need to have Disney create a build-your-own-meal plan.
I think that would be perfect.
Oh.
We've talked about that. I think,
you know what?
That
would be neat.
I think
for every quick service you want to add in, it's X amount. For table services, mm-hmm. it's X amount. I actually think that if Disney did that, they'd make a killing.
Yeah. I think ideally to offer something that had either, you know, a true 3 meals a day that wasn't deluxe, but where you could have 2 quick and 1 table, or 1 quick and 2 table per day. Yep. I think they would sell a lot of those. So it'd be like a quick plus dining.
Right. But I even think that your idea, build your own. Okay, for this reservation, we need, you know, we're going for 4 days, 4 nights, 5 days. We need 8 quick services and we need 16 table services because we plan on doing all signature dining.
But, and have a, I mean, they obviously
and
know.
Have a set price per night.
Yeah, they clearly know what their price point is to, you know, make some money on the quick service and how much to make money on the table service. So they could calculate it out. They could create a formula and set a price.
Right. I think we should get on that. Let's call Disney.
Mickey, did you hear that? I don't know if he listens to us.
I don't know if we've gotten that far.
No. No. I don't think Mickey's listening. But I'm gonna one-up you and talk about the premium plan. The premium plan is going to be the deluxe dining. You're still going to get your 3 meals plus 2 snacks. Those meals can be anywhere. You're still going to get that refillable drink mug, but the premium plan is going to offer lots of additional recreation and fun things. And this could be a plan that you would do when you didn't want to go to the parks. So let me start off with recreation. They give you unlimited use of certain recreation facilities and recreation equipment, and you get to use that throughout your stay. I'm going to start off with golf, and Disney has 5 golf courses that they are going to let you play on. They're going to include the golf. You can get lessons. They have the greens fees, the electric cart. You can get a bucket of balls to hit off on the range. You can get your rental shoes and your clubs. You can rent them so you don't have to take them with you. And so you can do all this, and this is included in the premium plan. The private golf lessons, that part is really cool. You get a 45-minute golf lesson per stay. It's not unlimited golf lessons, but you do get one of those. So they also have fishing excursions, and this is going to include the boat. You will get a guide to go with you. You're going to get a tackle box, not to keep, but, you know, a fully loaded tackle box, your fishing equipment, and you'll get a 1-year bass membership, and they'll also supply refreshments for you. And the way they do their fishing excursions, it is catch and release, so don't, you know, you don't have to worry about taking your fish home or anything. It is just for the sport, and so that's available to you. They offer lots of water sports.
I thought each fish was a dining credit.
You also get water sports.
Only if you do the private meal where they cook it for you.
Oh, boy. You get water skiing. You can get wakeboarding and tubing, parasailing. I like seeing the parasailers, you know, just gliding across, and, you know, you see them out on the lake, and it just looks so much fun. And then you also can do the personal watercraft, where you would be in one of the Sea Racers, I think it is. And you can also get one of the pontoon boats. You can rent canoes or kayaks. You can get one of those paddle boats, which we discovered last weekend they look like they're a lot more fun than they actually are. We got on one and, you know, you're just pedaling, and it's quite tiring. But you can also rent a sailboat. Another thing you can do is get bicycles. They have adult and children and children's bicycles. They do have helmets that are available, and you can get those. They have tennis that's available, and so you can do this. You can rent rackets so you don't have to worry about bringing your own. They also offer cane pole fishing, so you can do the old Tom Sawyer thing. And again, it's catch and release, so don't have to worry about the fish. They offer horseback riding. You can do a 45-minute horseback trail. And this is going to be in Fort Wilderness, the campgrounds. You can, if you're little enough, you have to be under 80 pounds, but you can do pony rides, again, at Fort Wilderness. There are carriage rides offered, and you can do this. You can do a 25-minute carriage ride. It's at Fort Wilderness, and you can have up to 5 people, 2 adults and 3 small children, or you can do 4 adults. the wagon rides, again, at Fort Wilderness. You can do a wagon ride, and this is going to go through the trails in Fort Wilderness, and it's 45 minutes. Oh, and you can do archery. This is also at Fort Wilderness, so they'll get you hooked up with all the equipment for that, and you can do some archery. And then the last thing I wanted to mention on this is miniature golf, and Disney has two miniature golf courses that you can use, and that's the Winter Summerland miniature golf course and the Fantasia Golf, Fantasia Gardens miniature golf. And so you can get all the miniature golf you can handle. So you get all kinds of stuff, which is great.
It sounds nice. It sounds nice if you're not doing your traditional go to the parks every day Disney vacation, and if you plan all that out so you get a good value.
Yeah, but there's a little bit more that you can do. They do offer the children's activity centers, unlimited use of the activity centers for your kids. They do have to be between 3 and 12, and they have to be potty trained. And another fun thing that they offer is La Nuba. Love it. Sorry. But you only get to go there once. You're going to get to go one ticket per person per stay. And that to me is exciting because I really do love that show.
So in theory, you could go and your kids could go to the child care center like every night.
Absolutely.
Which would be great for somebody like me with a lot of kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, three.
But, I mean, keep in mind that you're going to be paying, and I'll tell you the pricing. You're going to be paying $119 per day per child to be on this plan.
And so they'd have to be there for like 8 hours straight to get my money's worth.
Well, don't forget, you are still paying for food. You know, food is included. I mean, everything in this is included. An adult adult is going to cost you $169 per day, or per night. I keep saying day, but it is per night. So adults, $169 per night of your stay. And children are going to run you $119 per night of your stay. And then there's one other feature to this that, to me, it just, you can make a whole trip by doing this stuff, eating all the food, doing the sports stuff, doing the recreation, you know, going to Cirque du Soleil. But they also include all of their tours, all the Disney tours. And you can take as many tours as you want. You can do a tour every day, twice a day. You can do tours nonstop. And there are different tours that you can choose from. Some of my favorites being the Keys to the Kingdom tour, Around the World at Epcot tour, and the Disney Family Magic tour. There are 11 tours to choose from, so there are plenty to keep you busy. I also like Behind the Seeds. I like that one over in Epcot at the Land. I just find it really interesting. I love the educational tours. I love learning anything about Disney. So one day I will be doing this. But if you consider, you still have to buy tickets in order to get the dining plan. But if you consider how this is going to keep you occupied and entertained throughout your stay, maybe this is a bucket list for me, bucket list item, where I want to try this. I want to do it.
Well, and you'd only have to buy a one-day ticket, right, to add it?
Right.
Or is it two? Okay.
It
should just be one.
If it's...
Unless it was free dining.
No, if it's free dining, then you're a two-night,
two-day... Free premium dining.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to hit that. But maybe... I wonder if you could upgrade... To the premium.
I'm sure you could.
I bet you could. Something to look into. But I will be doing this, and I will be happy to report back after I do.
You know what I've seen is that a lot of people do one night. They do one night so they can get La Nuba and some of the other stuff.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, because La Nuba is expensive. Oh, well, a lot of these things are expensive.
Right.
And then you get the dining on top of it. So that,
well, and the tours. The tours are absolutely...
Yeah.
Outrageous.
And you have, in theory, you have from the time you check in until midnight the next night to do everything.
So you check in first thing. Yeah, I mean, you could turn this into a nice 36. Well, no.
You check in, put the kids in daycare.
Because you're going to need two nights. You can't do one night. Now I'm
you need
confused.
Two nights to do the plan?
No, I'm so, confusing myself. I'm thinking the free promotion. So yeah.
Because the dining is good until midnight the day you check out. So do a split stay, do the first day, do all of that stuff, or do your last day, whatever you end up doing. And, you know, you just have to split it up.
We'll have to think about that.
Yeah, I've been seeing people doing that. There's a whole thread on like a couple of message boards that go on with people doing that and figuring out ways to best maximize the money. And it seems like it would work because how much is a ticket to Lanuba? Is it $70 or $80?
I think it's $80.
And so when you consider a deluxe dining plan and a ticket to Lanuba is exactly what this costs, then you just, you know, you've just paid for that. It's pretty smart.
True, actually.
I like it. But I will do this someday.
Maybe we should do it together.
We should.
Bucket list.
All right.
Bucket list.
Should be a Pixie Vacations bucket list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll do it. Okay, Chris, do you have something even better than this?
Okay, I have the Platinum plan. And it's actually very easy to explain because you just explained pretty much everything. The only thing that you need in addition to that, or that you'll get in addition to that, and you'll pay $229 per adult and $160 per person. And what you get in addition to everything Lisa mentioned is pre-arrival planning service, a specialty fireworks cruise, reserve seating at Fantasmic, one spa treatment per guest, and additional dining options like Victoria's and Albert's, room service, and so on.
So they add Victoria and Albert's to that one.
That right there is going to make it worth it.
You know what I don't think is the pre-arrival planning service, though? See, I know a little bit about this service, and I think that if you have a good travel agent, they can do that for you, and they actually know you better than these people. So that's just my opinion on that. I think it's kind of worthless. The fireworks cruise would be nice.
Yeah, you'd have to figure it out and figure out the money and see if it's worth the difference or just paying for the fireworks cruise one night.
Yeah. The spa treatments. And the spa treatments are fairly limited, too. It's not like you can go in there and get like 7 hours of, you know, some long massage and whatever they do in there. It's one treatment.
Yeah, but Victoria and Albert Albert's is like, you know, $200-something a person. Yeah. So that right there is, you know, a pretty decent deal.
You know who this would be nice for? This would be nice for like honeymooners or maybe older couples or people who are maybe having like, you know, a sort of, you know, just sort of a more relaxing trip, like Lisa said.
Yeah.
Or people for whom money doesn't matter because, you know, while for us, $229 a day is pretty steep, you know, we all have had clients who you tell them the price and they're like, okay. You know, they don't blink. And it's sort of shocking sometimes to quote a $10,000 room to someone and have them not be a little like, oh, that's a lot of money. But there are people out there for whom that's not a huge amount of money.
Well, wow. Disney has it on the list for a reason. Clearly people are using it. I still think it'd be cool. I don't think I need to do the Platinum. Although Victoria and Albert's really is enticing.
Me too.
Well, Disney has recently released the 2012 dining plans, and there's a little bit of a change to them. So, Bob, tell us what you know about those.
Sure. Some minor changes, of course, a slight increase in price, but that's to be expected. But the big change is going to be in the quick service plan. Instead of two snacks per person per day, it's now going to be down to one snack per person per day. And on the plus dining plan, it will now come with the refillable drink mug that you can use to refill at your resort, which finally, I think that's great. I think that's one thing that was missing from that plan. So I welcome that change. Not crazy about the change to the quick service, but I think the change to the plus dining, adding the drink mug is definitely worth it.
Do you think people really use those drink mugs?
I see them all the time. Mm. I mean, I see people at the pool filling them up at the resorts, and I think people take them back to their rooms and, you know, just have them when they're chilling out, watching TV or whatever. And I see them at the park, and not that you can get them filled at the park, but I think people maybe fill them at the resort before they head to the park. And then, you know, when they're finished with it during the day, well, they can still use it to fill it with water or, you know, put their soda in it to keep it a little cooler. I mean, I see them everywhere. People talk about them. I think people love them. So,
yeah, I don't drink a lot of soda, so I don't love them, but everybody I've read about loves those things.
I just thought, Steve, remember back when we went, I guess it was a couple years ago, we were at the Contemporary and we were taking pictures and we saw an abandoned mug. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Was it? Oh, yeah. Then
Eric.
Yeah, one of our friends picked it up and washed it out.
Washed it out and filled it up.
Gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know about that.
And then, of course, with the mugs, I mean, in case people don't know, the mugs are good for the length of your stay. So they're good from check-in to check-out. You know, it used to be many, many moons ago that, you know, if you, you know, had a mug from 1985 or something that you could, you know, bring it and reuse it, you know, on a later trip. But, and I don't think there was any additional cost. That plan is long gone. So every time, you know, every trip, you know, if you're going to do the package with the drink mug or if you're going to buy one of those mugs, it is, you know, you got to get a new mug.
And how much is if you want to buy a mug?
Separately, I believe it is, and I'm sure you'll correct me, I want to say $14.95.
I was going to say $13.95.
$13.95, yeah, it's around there.
But I could be behind as well. But if you are if you're going to go this year and on the 2011 plan and you have the plus dining, if you wanted to purchase the mug, you certainly can. And it may be beneficial to you. And it's good for coffee or hot cocoa or soda fountain drink type
beverages.
And, you
know, it's a nice souvenir, too, just to have.
Oh, yeah.
When you get back home and stuff.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's a good little mug.
Now. Yeah, they're thinner on the base now. I mean, they changed the design so that it still holds the same amount, but it fits better in a cup holder.
So. Well, thank God for that.
Well, you know.
It is helpful, though. Nice to have.
Mm-hmm. So,
I'd like to hear what each of your favorite plans is or what you do the most. Lauren, what do you typically do?
That's easy. The plus dining, the regular dining. One quick, one snack, one table.
Okay.
For me, it's the best value for the money. I mean, you're not gonna see the same fat unless, like I said, unless you're doing all those signature dining experiences or character meals, it's not worth it. I love the plus dining. I think it's a great value for the money, especially when you have kids that are ages 3 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
You have two adults and two kids in that 3 to 9 bracket. I mean, you're eating for less than $100 a day, or just a little over $100 a day, actually, for your entire family.
Yeah.
You know, I just think the value is unbeatable. If you like to do the sit-down meals.
Okay. Chris, what do you think?
Same. I think the plus dining is the best deal, and that's what I see most people buying.
Mm-hmm. Bob?
Well, I do tables in Wonderland.
Well, that's true.
With the annual pass holder.
You don't count.
Right. So because I'm local, so I don't tend to and when I stay on property for vacation, I don't tend to get the dining plan. But if I were to do it, I mean, the plus dining is very, very popular, but as often as you know, we go. Because I am more of a fan of signature dining, I'm tempted to do the deluxe plan. You know, even though it would be a huge amount of food. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think I could get some use out of that plan. So, yeah.
Steve.
Lisa. Well, we did the plus dining. I think the plus dining worked out real well for us.
I think it does. I think.
And with the kids, we've got, you know, Brooke is, 20 months, and Amber just turned 6, so it's a good age for that. I don't think we could go up to a higher plan with the kids.
No, I do think that we're going to run into a little bit of trouble because she really does want food these days a lot. And we could always share in the many months past, but between a kid's quick service meal if they do insist on that, and then the two adult meals, I guess we'll be okay, but I'm just thinking we might have to supplement a little more if we were to do this again. Yeah. We'll just have to go down to Disney and find out.
Bummer.
All right, I think we have completely exhausted Disney dining for now. We'll get back into that another show, I'm sure. But we do have one listener question for this week. Chris, what do we have?
Hi. Okay, it's a listener named Ben, and I want to thank him for the question. He writes to us and says, I'm training right now to run my first marathon, and I want my first to be at Walt Disney World in January. I'm so excited about it. So I wonder if you could give me some tips on going to the marathon, where to stay, what kind of crowds to expect, any transportation tips, and so on. Also, we'd like to visit the parks for several days, so we'll probably stay several days after the run. How will the crowds be that week? Are there any specials or anything that we should look for? So I guess the first thing I would say to anyone going for the January marathon is that you can book these marathon specials. And in general, we don't think they're as good of a deal on the rooms. They're just really not. They don't offer you discounted tickets. They just offer you a slight discount on the room. So if you want to ensure you have a room, the smartest thing you can do is book under that marathon discount. And then when a better discount comes out, if it does, go ahead and try to get that. And it's particularly if you want a hard to get room like a villa and that's available under the marathon discount, make sure you grab that. As far as crowds go, it's a really great weekend to go. It's never a crowded weekend or a week at all. Those runners tend to be very serious runners. A lot of them just come in town for the race and then they leave. They don't go to the park, so it doesn't bump up attendance. And it's really the week after is going to be one of the slowest weeks of the year. So you should have a great time and hopefully the weather will hold up.
That's going to wrap it up for this week's show. You can download our shows at mousechat.net and also from iTunes. Please send us your comments and questions to comments@mousechat.net. Join us again here next week on Mouse Chat.